A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boss.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
Okay, Andrew and Ruby, stay there. We played Captain Beaky before the break. And the comments on YouTube are great. First comment from a year ago. Classic. This kind of thing wouldn't sell nowadays. Not with the competition of all that mass-produced teeny bopper shite and X Factor nonsense. Don't forget, it was this that we're talking about.
In my reckless hat, and when hissing zip picks up my trail, I'll just lasso him with my tail. Oh, a good idea, said Timid Toad. We'll hide a long way down the road.
There we go.
I don't think that's the only reason why it wouldn't sell these days.
The reply to that is so true. What the hell has happened to music and talent? Music and talent. It was huge. It was a huge song. I think Terry Wogan used to play that a lot. The Late Night Alternative, Mondays to Fridays, 10 o'clock at night to 1 in the morning with me, Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle. A phone-in show, unlike any other phone-in show, in that you can call in about pretty much anything you want. It can be silly, it can be heavy, it can be frothy and light, or it can be dark and serious. We don't mind. Don't swear. Don't be libelous. That's it. If you phone up tonight, you'll speak to James. He will take your name and number and we'll give you a call straight back. The phone number is 0344 499 1000. Ruby, stay there. You're going to be next. But before that, it's Andrew.
Good evening to you both. May I start with an opening monologue?
Yeah, sure, why the hell not? No one has
Gosh, done. It's like BBC London.
Isn't it?
I know.
Go on.
I would like to hereby relinquish any claims I had on freebies to your shows. I know I'm not worthy of it, so there you go.
Okay.
Up your bum. I know I'm not worthy of it.
Wow, it's kicking off. Okay. And here's the thing.
He's a physical challenge.
He's waiting for us to go, oh, don't be so silly.
I can think of that.
Andrew, so as people know, we are screening the Bross documentary this tomorrow. I think there's 2 tickets left. If you want to go to ianlee.com/event, it's going to be a good old laugh. We've got about, I think it's about 60% our fans,
yeah,
and about 40% Brossettes.
Yeah.
Joe Perlman, the producer, is going to be there. He's going to do a Q&A afterwards. And Andrew, who, now where are you? Are you in Southend today or are you in Las Vegas?
Wherever you want. No, I'm in Vegas.
Okay. Andrew lives and works out in Vegas, said, oh, I can get, which one is
Matt?
That? That's not true.
I can get Matt Goss to do a
that's
little...
That's not how it happened.
Go on, remind me how it happened then.
It happened. I was called up to say I was going to go and see him, and I said about the swing version of one of the songs he does.
Yeah.
When will I be famous?
Oh, you could... Yeah, that was it, yeah. And then you said, oh, you could do a video for us and introduce the show. So I was like, I'll try.
No, hang on, that's not how I remember
No, you came in all guns blazing saying you could get it.
That's what you did.
The next week, I'm listening to your show and I hear you dissing me about not being able to do it or something, calling me a chancer.
Here's the thing. He's done it. We have a video from which one is it?
That's Matt Goss.
We have a video.
That's the one with the hair.
We have a video from Matt Goss, okay? And I'm going to play it now, okay? Dear listener, see if you can spot. You may not be able to hear it because the audio isn't very good. We'll talk about the video quality in a minute. 8-bit. Matt has lived in America for a long time, and regular listeners to this show will know that Americans struggle with the name Ian. So whenever I send an email to an American, I write Ian with lowercase eyes, I-A-I-N.
You know, like a teenage girl.
Yeah, because, well, anyway, just have a little listen.
Hello, everybody. I'm Matt Goss, and I would like to welcome everybody to Lane and Catherine's screen.
I am Matt Goss. I would like to welcome everybody to Lane and Catherine's screening. Let's just listen to the whole thing now, okay? This is, and I can't turn it any louder. This is as good as the quality is.
Hello, everybody. I'm Matt Goss, and I would like to welcome everybody to Lane and Catherine's screening at the Rabbit Hole. Sounds a little bit freaky to me. I don't know what it is, but I've been asked to give you a message. I want to send you my love. I'm about to go to bed now. I always sleep in a tuxedo. I'm a bit, apparently, according to Joel Perlman, I'm a little bit eccentric. But no, I'm actually going to do my show now and just send you my love. Have a lovely time.
So it's a lovely message.
He's a good man.
He's a good lad, right? And Andrew, you're a good man for getting it done. Right? And I don't mind the fact he says Lane. That's very funny, OK? Because that's how Americans address me, and that's fine. I've made peace with that. Right? But here's the thing. The video quality...
I know.
It's like, you know, I never forget, right, about 15 years ago, about 10 years ago, my father-in-law is a cardiologist, right? He's a very well-respected cardiologist. And one Christmas, he got sent a present from an Indian gentleman whose life he had saved. And it was a video camera, right? This was 10 years ago. He got sent a video camera. And Peter was like, well, this is fantastic. It was one of those little silver ones that you flipped open and there was a screen and stuff like that. He said, this is great, but Ian, I can't get it to work. Can you get it to work? And so I fiddled around with it, right? And what it was a video camera, but it was a video camera you'd buy in an Indian market in Delhi, in that it didn't really do anything. It looked flash, but the technology inside it was kind of like the first video cameras you got on mobile phones, you know, pixelated, blocky and stuff. And I said to him, this is useless. It looks like Matt Goss found the video camera that I chucked out 10 years ago that was bought in a market in Delhi, and has used that to film it. It's the quality, Andrew, is I don't think we can show it because look how pixelated it is on my computer.
Oh, I think we show it anyway. Look, the brossettes are going to be going nuts. They won't be able to see it anyway for jiggling about.
No, but here's the thing, right? We can't. That's how pixelated it is on my computer screen, right? You times that by 20, you're not going to be able to see it.
If we all squint, though.
You won't be able to see it.
Oh, come on, we got to.
No, we don't got. Look. You can't.
But I've been asked to give you a message. I want to send you my love. I'm about to go to bed now. I always sleep in a tuxedo. I'm a bit, apparently, according to Joel.
All right, we're gonna play it, Andrew.
We're playing it, man.
We're playing it, and we're playing it.
Good luck. You have to have a couple of drinks beforehand, and hopefully it'll all go into focus.
Hey, listen, man. But you're a very, very good man, and you're a good sport. And you know what? The next couple of shows you want to come to, your name's going to be on the door. I appreciate the effort you put in to get that, and it's a funny little video. So thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
You're a good man.
What you're saying about the video camera you got in Delhi reminds me. I picked up a hard disk drive in a market in Shanghai a few years ago.
Oh yeah.
And I thought, okay, I'm a bit dubious. So is it going to work? It's got Samsung on the label. I thought, well, this looks the part. But I know these things. Let's just give it a try.
Yeah.
So this guy, very obligingly, very little English, and I spoke very little Mandarin, and he plugged it into the computer, and he went into like my computer and said, yeah, it's got 2 terabytes available of storage. I thought, brilliant. It started about 50 quid. I managed to get it down to about 30.
Good lad.
And I thought, I'm really doing well. Nice little bargain. Perfect. Went to use it when I was at home. Nothing would store on it.
Oh.
My next door neighbour at the time was a bit of a geek and could work his magic on stuff like this. And he tried it and couldn't get anything to do anything. And he took it apart and he brought it back to me, all opened up, and showed me inside. And all it is, the other side of the USB is a little microchip that tells your computer, yep, I've got 2 terabytes
available. Oh.
But to make it feel like it's the genuine thing.
Yeah, what was in there?
Inside it, they had a load of metal nuts that are glued to the inside of the shell casing to give it some weight.
Genius.
So it's a load of empty nuts that are just glued into it.
Tell me about it, story of my life.
I know, I loved it. I loved it more than a 2 terabyte hard drive.
The Chinese are wonderful.
Shanghai in particular.
It was Shanghai surprise.
My sister...
Yeah,
she used to be cabin crew, and they used to know that there were places you go and you could get these most amazing fake things, you know, and you would get them in the, you know, proper packaging and everything. But they knew it was hooky as. Mm. Probably very dodgy going and getting there as well.
Andrew, Andrew, you're a good man. I look forward to seeing you at the next time you pop along to one of our shows.
Yeah, because I did see in my local area. I think it's a chain, that Handoff's place. There's some of those here in Vegas. I might go and give it a try.
Yeah, yeah, you go. Yeah, I got a feeling there might be a different, slightly different. You go and get a hand job. You go to hand jobs and let them finish you off. Okay. 03444991000. Ruby, stay there. You will be next. This is the Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and talk radio.
We'll get you talking.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Excuse me.
Oh, Dad.
Hello, I'm Martin Kellner.
And I'm his daughter, Ruthie.
We do a podcast. It's called Ruthie, Me and My Dad.
In which I tell him how he's wrong about most things.
And I explain to her who the Bee Gees were. It's on Acast and Apple Podcasts.
And all your favourite podcast providers.
It's a unique generation gap conversation between a baby boomer dad
and his Generation Z daughter.
That's Ruthie, Me and My Dad. Brand new episodes every Thursday.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
03444991000. Good evening, Ruby.
Good evening, Ian and Kat.
Hi,
good evening, Ruby.
Ruby.
How are you doing tonight?
I've been up and down all day.
Yeah.
At this moment in time.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, we go. You see, there we go. Fantastic. Yeah. Hold on to that, and it'll go again. And you have to remember that it's 12:16 on a Friday night, Saturday morning. You felt all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And cling on to that. What have you done today? Anything exciting?
Well, when I woke up in the morning, I had that feeling of panic, not wanting to get out of bed.
Yeah.
But I did drag myself out of bed. I had a nice breakfast with my mum. A bit of a chat over a cup of coffee.
There you go.
That was nice.
Yeah.
And I got on with some paperwork and things that I needed to finish on the computer. And just self-reflection. A little bit. And then I spoke to my best friend who I mentioned yesterday.
Yes.
That was nice. She made me laugh.
There you go.
Gave me some words of comfort. And it was nice. Very pleasant.
There you go. And it's another day. You've done another day, you know. And
yeah.
You're heading in the right direction. I struggled to get up today, but I made myself get up around lunchtime and go. And there's a nice hill near me, about a little 10-minute drive away. So I went and I just go and sit on this hill. It's got a lovely view. And I just phoned up a couple of people. Did I phone you up from there, Boyle? I sent you a picture mm-hmm. saying I'd got out. And I just sat there for a bit. And then when I felt like I was done, I went back home and went back to bed. And that was all right.
Yeah.
That's all right. Yeah. We've got to do whatever it is we have to do to get by.
Yeah, it is sometimes the most simple things that give you that pleasure and motivation and just help you get through the day.
Yeah. What's this weekend?
This weekend, tomorrow, hopefully I'll go to my neighbour's house.
You know your neighbours?
Some of them.
This is insane.
Yeah.
What kind of strange utopia do you live in?
Well, it wasn't always like this. These particular neighbours, they haven't lived on the street long. But we got very close within a short space of time. And they've got two lovely children, absolutely wonderful children.
Yeah.
And it's always a joy to be around them.
How old are the kids?
4 and... No, sorry. Mine's gone blank.
That's okay, but they're young. They're young.
Yeah.
Yeah, go and play with the kids.
Five and under.
There you go. Go and play with the kids. That's what it's all about. That's the circle of life. That you cannot... It's very difficult to wallow if you're playing with some kids. It wears off after a while, you know. If you've got them all weekend, it can be tough. 30 minutes with a couple of five-year-olds, that's good for the soul. I'll
tell you something, yeah. When my granddad died, my mum was devastated. But she came around and she'd just play with my kids for half an hour. Yeah. And because they didn't know what was going on and they didn't particularly care because they were so little,
it just
took her out of herself for a bit. And that's the point, isn't it?
Yeah. 30 minutes, everyone, they should prescribe it. 30 minutes with a couple of five-year-olds and under. Boom, that's the soul taken out, spat on and polished up a little bit and then inserted gently.
It reminds you that there is loveliness and there is innocence in
innocence,
the world.
And purity. Yes. There you go, you see, that's what it's all about.
Well, it then, always puts a smile on my
if
face.
If you've got a bit of that coming up, Ruby, then you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
This weekend.
I won't lie, today and yesterday I had... thoughts that disturbed me in the sense that I thought to myself, this person that I, sorry to go back to the same topic as yesterday, but this person that I got to know, I thought to myself, despite everything I know about them that disgusted me, if they wanted me back, I would say yes. And I even considered, should I beg them to take me back? I didn't want to think this way, but it came to me. But then I busied myself with something else. I went and had a glass of water. I texted my friend. And the thought went, like what you said yesterday really stayed
you
with me.
You are not your thoughts. And it's okay to think that. It's okay to think, well, what happens if I beg them? And what happens if I offer to do this, this and this? It's okay to think that. But you don't actually have to act on it. And also it doesn't mean... that is you. Doesn't mean that you are the type of person that would necessarily do that. It's just a thought. And you think, right, there's a thought. Not going to act on that. So thanks very much. Bye-bye. Yeah. And then just let it drift down the river.
The other thing is, Ruby, that it's fine, natural and perfectly okay for you to miss the feeling that that person gave you at one point.
Absolutely. Yes, it's the feeling that I can't.
Yeah.
Well.
And that's what everyone wants. Yeah. Everyone wants to feel like that. It's magic.
Yeah.
But you don't need to get it from that person because it wasn't, you know, it didn't turn out to be the right kind of thing. But that feeling was something, and that feeling is something that's not unique to that person.
Yeah, that's what's been so hard to get my head around, as in, will I ever get this feeling again? Is this person unique and special? But they're not really. And from what I found out later, like I was saying, they're not the kind of person that is respectful towards women. The way in which they speak and treat women's not good at all.
And you deserve better than that. You deserve better than that, and you don't have to settle for it.
Yeah. Even though with me, they put on this a gentleman act and completely charming. And even when they let the mask slip a little and I had my doubts, I carried on. Because, I'm a lifelong people pleaser. Mm. And B, I'm so polite, I can never say no to anyone. And, well, C, because they made me feel a way that I felt I couldn't say no.
Yeah.
Because it had gotten so... like I was falling deeper and deeper and deeper. And I know on the surface it sounds trivial, just some guy I met online, we talked for a bit. But even though it sounds trivial, it was more than that. Like, it's hard to explain.
I get it. We get it. We can hear in your voice, and we get it. Here's the thing. I was never very good at saying no, and I had to learn to do it. And once you learn to do it, it's so empowering. Being able, and I would do like jobs I didn't want to do, and I would go to places I didn't want to go to, and I'd, because it's easier just to say, yeah, sure. Hey, would you come and do that? Yeah, sure. Of course I will. People pleasing. That's what it's all about. But can you get the phone, please, James? It's learning to say no. Is an amazing thing, and you should kind of practice saying no to people. So if you find yourself in situations like you're in a cafe, can I get a coffee? Yeah, sure. Do you want a cake with that? No, thanks. Just small things like that. I don't know what situations would apply to you specifically, but just situations where you would normally say yes. Just practice saying no, and watch. No one will think any less of you. No one will judge you. No one will kind of step back and go, oh, my gosh, she said no. What a cow. No one cares. No one cares. It's amazing. Once you realise that, the freedom it gives you.
Yeah. I mean, with this person as well, eventually it was me that said no.
I was going to say, you did draw a line in the end because you felt that it wasn't right and it was getting further and further over that line.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I knew it would be too difficult for me, despite their insistence that this will happen. I wasn't convinced because they weren't thinking of me.
Good for you. Thank you. That takes an awful lot of strength, you know.
You've got this, Ruby. Like I said yesterday, I can hear an intelligent, spiritually beautiful, strong woman. And you got this. And it's going to be lousy for a little bit, and then it won't be quite so lousy, and then one day it'll be all right, and you'll go, oh, God, it's been all right today, and it'll get lousy again as soon as you remember. Yeah. And then it'll be all right. You're going in the right direction, Ruby.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend, and we'll speak next week, OK?
You as well. All right. I'll call you back.
Take care. Thanks very much. Bye-bye. Let's go to Start. Good evening, Start.
Hi. I just wanted to say to Ruby...
Yes.
I know how she feels with everything that's gone on because it happened to me as well in my past with my ex.
Mm.
I stayed with him for 5 years and he emotionally abused me, you know, called me all the names under the sun, told me I was worthless, told me I would never find anybody better than him because nobody'd ever have me. And, you know, he made my self-esteem that low. I stayed with him because I actually started to believe him.
Yeah.
And then it got to a point where I was even pushing my family away. I was pushing everybody away because of the things that he was telling me. And he was making me that low. I was believing in that my family didn't care about me and my friends didn't care about me. And it got to the point where I was completely on my own. Mm-hmm. And I was self-sufficient on him because he was taking all the money. He was gambling all the time. I'd never got nothing. You know, he'd literally take my bank card out of my purse, go and get the shopping money and go and gamble it away in the bookies and stuff like that. So I'd have to like constantly be asking people to borrow me money just to get some food in the house.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where I just clicked and it was like, you know what? I don't need this in my life. I need something better. And I did. I turned around to him and I said, look, I can't do it no more. I've got to leave. And I left and I stopped with a friend for a few months and managed to get myself a flat. And, you know, I lived in this flat for about 3 years on my own. I didn't have nobody around me, like, personally, if you know what I mean, like, sexually and stuff like that. I just thought, no, I need to bring myself back. I need to work on myself. And I did. And I worked on me and bringing the old person back and the old me back that he had pushed down. And when I did, I finally realised that there was people there that loved me and cared for me and wanted what was best for me. And I managed to find somebody that now treats me like a queen, you know. he'd do anything for me. He always tells me, it doesn't matter how much of a bad day I'm having, you know, with my depression and stuff like that, he'll sit there, and if he sees I'm having a bad day, he'll sit there and he'll talk to me about it, you know, and he's always complimenting me, telling me how beautiful I look and, you know, and things like that. And at first, when I first got with him, I wasn't sure how to take it because I'd never had that in my life before. I'd never had somebody in my life before that complimented me. I was always constantly going with the people that put me down and things like that. But now that I've actually realised that this person that is good for me, I know that my life is better the way it is. And it took me a while to get there, but I have got there. I mean, my depression and stuff is still bad because of my health, but he actually works with me and helps me with it instead of trying to use that against me.
There you go. Perfect.
And it's absolutely amazing. And I just want to let her know that, yeah, it's going to take a while for her to get there because of those feelings that she's got, but she will get there eventually. And when she does, it'll be the most amazing feeling ever to know that she's done it herself and actually brought herself back round.
Hey, nice one, Star. Thanks for sharing that.
No worries, you're welcome.
Cheers, my dears. Ta-ta. There we go.
Bye.
What nice listeners we got. We got the nicest listeners. Sloop Jombie.
Hey, we're the Monkees. How you doing? Oh, not supposed to ask that. Hello, Ian. Hello, Kath.
Yes, sir. Sloop.
Listen, I wanted to tell you about a theory I heard to get your take on it.
Okay, good. I'm good.
And you've seen the film Pulp Fiction, right?
A long, long time ago, yes.
Well, there's a cut scene in the film that I saw the other day, and Uma Thurman films John Travolta on a high-8 camera, and she hits him with this theory, so I'm going to give it to you now. Yes. She says, there are two types of people in the world, Beatles people and Elvis people.
Yeah.
And although you can like both of them, you can't like them both the same, and at some point you have to choose.
Yeah.
And that's how you can divide people in the world into two camps. What's your thoughts on that?
I think Beatles and Elvis are a little bit too similar to differentiate, really.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think you'd get a lot of people that would dig both. I mean, they're wrong, because Elvis sucks. We know that. Elvis is terrible.
You sing Elvis yourself on the air.
Sorry?
You sing Elvis, don't you?
No, I sing Ian Lee. I sing Ian. Elvis sings Elvis. I sing Ian, which is...
What about Catherine?
I'm not an Elvis person. My sister is.
I think a lot of people will say that they like the early Beatles and they like Elvis. I think I can see too much of a crossover between those acts. I think you're either a Beatles group, Beatles person, or... Well, no, actually, why are we even debating some crappy Quentin Tarantino dialogue that he cut from his film?
You're not a Tarantino fan.
I think as a human being, he's a knob.
Well, yeah, you've got a point there.
I haven't seen Pulp Fiction. Opinion. I haven't seen Pulp Fiction since it came out. I bought it on Hooky VHS in Camden Market for a fiver, really bad quality. And I watched it, loads of times, and I used to really love it. But that would have been...
In about 1995.
Yeah, I was going to say I was 23, mm-hmm. So 95, 96.
I had the poster in my bedroom at university.
And I've not seen it since then. And I wonder if it would stand the test of time. Zed's dead, baby.
It's a great film. That's what I said. That's why I watched it the other day. I just thought I'd have to ask Ian about this.
Reservoir Dogs is a good film. Right? Cause it's like brilliant. A play. So it's a play. Basically, it's a play filmed in front of a camera, right?
Well, I heard it's ripped off from a Japanese film, but that's
because it is. He rips everything off, right? Kill Bill, boring.
Yeah.
Jackie Brown, boring.
No, I like Jackie Brown.
Yeah, you're wrong. It's boring.
That's right. It's a great
boring film.
Sit your raggedy ass down.
Boring.
My favourite, From Dusk Till Dawn.
Right.
Catherine, that's my favourite as well.
Yeah.
He wrote True Romance too. Have you seen that?
Yeah, boring.
I don't
boring.
Really remember a lot about it.
Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, even the bit with Elvis in the mirror talking to him.
Boring.
I like you, Clarence. Inglourious
Basterds is I've not seen, but it looks boring. Every other film he's ever done since looks boring. He's doing a film about Charles Manson. It looks boring. The guy's a joke.
How can you know about Charles Manson be boring? It should be great.
Nah, the guy's a joke.
Are you just worried about how he's going to portray Dennis Wilson or something?
No, I just don't want to go and watch a movie about Charles Manson directed by Quentin Tarantino. Oh,
can I just say one quick thing before I go in there? You know the Beach Boys film? Is it Love and Music or something?
Love and Mercy. You know,
yeah,
this guy calls up. He's called Sloop John Bean. He doesn't know the name of the Brian Wilson movie. Wow!
I like the beat.
And he's talking to me about what films I should and shouldn't like. Wow, this guy's a joke. Yes, mate.
Is it any
Love,
good?
Love and Music. Yeah, go on. Love and Music. Yeah, named after the Brian Wilson song, Love and Music, from his first solo album, Brian Wilson. Love and Music. Yeah, go on. Love and Music.
Yeah, the film.
Yeah, called Love and Music. Yeah?
Love and Music. Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, it's Love and it's named after the song Love and Music from the first Brian Wilson album.
I've not heard that one.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Sloop John B. Yes. It's a great film.
Well, there you go. All right. I'll have a look and I'll let you know.
Thanks, man. I appreciate the.
Does anyone get shot in it or like take?
Hopefully.
Take loads of drugs. Oh, they take a lot of drugs.
He takes a lot of drugs in it.
Maybe Brian Wilson does the Samuel L. Jackson, The Path of the Righteous Man.
There you go. You see, Zed's dead, baby. Hey, nice one, Sloop. Thanks for the call, man.
Laters, bye.
Laters, I like that. Oh, I enjoy talking to Sloop. Let's go to Mark. Good evening, Mark.
Good evening, and how are you?
None of your business. What you got for us, Mark?
Oh, well, I was just getting involved in that Quentin Tarantino discussion then, and I still think his films are pretty cool. I think they're good.
We're glad.
Boom!
Whoa!
See, you got burnt there, Mark. You got burnt.
He was just going to leave you dangling. I felt like I had to bring it
you
to some
burnt.
Kind of close.
You know what? That was a total, blooming, you know, you might as well have had a church bell ringing in the background.
Yeah. I was exaggerating slightly for comic effect. If Pulp Fiction were on, I'd sit down and watch it probably.
Loved it. You know what, though? I went to see that at the cinema when it came out, and I just did not get it. I had to go back about two or three times.
Oh, because there's like the time jump in there, isn't there?
Yeah, it was like a first time that the filmmaker had used that sort of time warp thing, you know.
Well, I watched it. I don't recommend it, but I watched it on a hooky video that I bought in Camden, and I thought that it'd been... Because sometimes you get those videos and they're edited wrong, and I thought that... It's like, oh, no, this is... There's like an hour in the wrong place and, oh, balls. But, yeah, then you realise it's part of the... Yeah.
Yeah, you got Travolta who'd been shot in the toilet, you know, and then the next thing he's walking around again. And I'm like, whoa, hang on, he's dead.
Here's the thing. I didn't like Jackie Brown. I thought Kill Bill was just awful.
Well, yeah.
Boring.
It's only half a film, though, isn't it?
Well, no, because there's two of them.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, there's two of them. Then I saw an interview with Uma Thurman last year when she said that he was a bit of a sleazebag and that whole thing about him strangling her with the chains. Did you read that?
Yeah.
He nearly killed her. Yeah. Two instances. Really? He nearly killed her in a car crash. She nearly died. So like a camera came off and hit her or something. And another thing where she had to be strangled with a chain. And Quentin said, I will do it. And I will hold it a little bit longer than you're comfortable with and we'll get the shot. And he nearly swore then. And he choked her with a metal chain. He choked her. And
right,
she
right.
found it terribly upsetting, as one would. And I just thought, all right, there's authenticity and there's also acting. And, you know, sometimes you just got to act. And that was a bit of a joke, really.
I think the fact he tries to get in his own movies as well is a little bit like...
He's a terrible actor,
and he's always himself.
Oh no, he's always himself. He's one ugly mofo, you know.
Wow, gosh, that escalated quickly.
But it's a thing where he does that thing where he no, for you know 5 minutes. It's like, okay, we know you can talk fast. Come on.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, you've got verbal diarrhea, mate. That's pretty much your thing, isn't it?
When did you last watch Pulp Fiction, Mark?
I watched it actually about 2 or 3 months ago, just kind of see what it was all about again.
And was it all right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's just star-studded, isn't it? You know, you've got them all in there, haven't you?
You have got them all in there. I'm a big Bruce Willis fan, so I do. Yeah, I enjoy his bit.
I think it's a bit dated now, if you want the honest truth, because there's so many films that have just moved on from it, and it's just kind of, it was like it was the starting point, wasn't it, for a lot of filmmakers.
It was so cool at the time, though. So cool.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
Whereas Reservoir Dogs, I don't think that can date as well, because it's pretty much just like one shot, you know.
I didn't get that. I mean, Reservoir Dogs was not one of my favourites, but you're saying it was one of yours, but I didn't find it that good.
Out of his stuff, it was. I remember that again. Someone had a video of that before Pulp Fiction came out, and it was still a bit of an underground thing. And I remember watching that late at night and thinking, yeah, this is all right. But here's the thing, Mark. I'm kind of, apart from superhero movies, I'm quite bored of movies where people just go around shooting each other now.
Yeah, it needs a bit more of a plot, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit of story.
And there's so many hitmen movies as well, you know. They're always hitmen or Secret Service or, you know, come on. Let's move away from that one as well. That's just boring as well.
Mark, you and me, we're going to make a movie together. Natalie's going to sing the theme tune. You and me, we're going to make a movie, and it's not going to be about hitmen. It's going to be about just guys having fun. And it's going to be cool. It's going to be good guys having fun. And that's what it's going to be about.
But very quickly, I mean, Inglourious Bastards, that was ridiculous. I mean, really?
Do you know what? I've not actually seen that. That's the World War II one, isn't it? It just looked rubbish.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
All right. Nice one, Mark. Hey, listen, thanks for the call.
It's been a pleasure.
Trust me, it's been more of a pleasure for us, buddy. It's been more of a pleasure for us.
Experience the unconventional.
Hello.
The unpredictable.
Don't you think that's a bit weird?
And the completely unorthodox.
It was my birthday.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Hate alarm clock. Hate going to work.
On Talk Radio.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.